friends, and welcome back to Ghouls Night In, the spooky chat show with your best ghoul friends. I'm Penny Snark.
And I'm Midge Munster. And Penny, today is April 30th, which means that it is, in fact, Hexenacht, or Walpurgisnacht, whichever you prefer. Now, we did an episode on Beltane 2 years ago. It's been 2 years, which is crazy. I literally went back to look, and I was like, that was last year. It was not. So if you've not listened to that episode, you can go back and check that out for tomorrow. But what happens on the eve of May 1st, and why has it historically been referred to as Witch's Night? Well, let's dive in and learn a little bit more about that. Like I said, we've done this episode before. We know that Beltane is the calendar sister of Samhain on the Wheel of the Year, thought to be the other time that the veil is the thinnest. That, of course, meant that this time of year historically was where extra protections were taken to, you know, well, protect yourself from awakening of mischievous spring spirits or the last ditch efforts of the dark winter forces attempting to trouble the living. But it was also a time of celebration of the returning of the light and the earth being reborn. But of course, as always seems to happen here in our history lessons, over time, as Europe was gradually Christianized, this pagan celebration of seasonality and fertility became intertwined with a much more Christian story, specifically with the legend of an English nun named Walpurga. So Walpurga is a British Christian missionary. She came to Germany in the late 8th century with the mission of Christianizing the Saxons. Mm-hmm. But she became famous for her miraculous powers, specifically concerning removing the effects of witches' spells on people throughout Germany. You know how people were sick,
like you do.
Yes.
You know how the witches are always putting spells on you.
Yeah. So she had an array of things she was well known for. Pests, getting rid of pests and rabies, getting rid of whooping cough. But as a whole, her big celebrated success was putting an end to pagan sorcery. So therefore, of course, Christians began praying via Walpurga to God to protect themselves from witches and witchcraft. Tale as old as time, Penny. Gotta protect from those witches. So when Walpurga died, she was canonized as a Christian saint, and she was traditionally associated with the date May 1st because a medieval account was discovered of her being canonized on that date in 870. Mm-hmm. Now, we now know that she died on February 25th, and that is since, in recent years, when she is celebrated now. And there's not a ton of documentation to support that she was actually canonized on May 1st. regardless, though,
we just picked one.
Well, let me tell you, Penny, it's giving... I was like typing this up, and I'm like, because I'm me, I'm like doing bits in my head while I'm typing. Yeah. And I was like, this is giving when Trans Day of Visibility fell on Easter.
Right.
It's the exact same. Regardless of whether or not May 1st had anything to do with her canonization, St. Walpurga's Day was set on Beltane, and they're now on the same day, which may have been a coincidence. Yeah, could have been completely coincidental, but it is more likely, given the time frame that this is happening, that it was chosen to keep with the medieval church's mission to rededicate any pagan festivals and such as events on the Christian calendar.
That feels like such a weak one, though.
Like, Like, I'm sorry to Walpurga, but
yeah.
if it's like, ooh, we're going to replace this with, like, we're going to put Christmas on this important pagan day. Jesus was born on this day. And they're just like, I don't know, Walpurga was canonized?
I don't know, saints? Like,
some saint, I guess? Like, I don't know. Well,
and I was trying to find, I didn't find a lot of, like, radical information about how Walpurga's day was celebrated. It just seemed like a lot of, like, worship and temple attending, or like, oh, not temple, but like,
yeah,
her monument.
Services,
yeah. And I'm like, so the alternative is like naked in the forest,
like sexy maypole time, or you're like, I could go to church.
I'm like, not really like tantalizing to draw people away from running around and fraternizing with one another, but go off. So but really weirdly, for this reason, it kind of works out for the pagans for a time, because there isn't like a large other celebration truly like a Christmas happening, so they kind of are able to still celebrate and go a bit unnoticed because it's not colliding with the festivities of another major holiday, really.
Yeah, I was gonna say, as we have all noticed from how we all vociferously celebrate Walpurgis Nacht now,
yeah,
clearly it did not have the staying power. It
didn't take, yeah. Well, there was no Fox News to get mad about the pagans celebrating in the forest on St. Walpurgis Day, so it was fine. So yeah, as we've suggested here, the Catholic Church was not really that successful in its attempt to stamp out the pagans.
Weak rebrand.
What?
A weak rebrand.
Yeah.
Melting.
It's giving Twitter trying to call itself X.
Right.
No one's going to call it
like
that.
Nah, I don't think so.
Nah, don't
I'm pretty sure you're wrong.
And so the celebrations stayed pretty prevalent, especially in rural parts of Germany. They basically just moved it out where they couldn't see it and kept going. And this specifically happened a lot in the Harz Mountains region. This was kind of the centralized area, the big hoopla for the continuation of these rituals. And that continued well into the 16th century, which, if you remember, we were just talking about the year 870.
Yeah, that's a good long time.
Yeah, so we got away with it. It's okay. But of course, once again, up and coming factors start colliding, and there is once again widespread hysteria about witchcraft. One thing about witchcraft: people gonna get hysteric about it.
There's gonna be hysteria.
So pagan practices that had up till that point been seen as pretty harmless then are suddenly deemed as evil, and those practicing them should be condemned to death. Medieval Germany bears witness to some of the like largest and most gruesome witch hunts in history. Mm-hmm. Like, it's kind of crazy that in America we think of like Salem as being this crazy witch hunt. It was horrible what happened, but it was not the scale of which we think it's nothing compared to what happened in Germany. So Walpurgis Nacht is often even referred to, unfortunately, as Hexenbrunnen, which means the burning of the witches.
Ew.
Yeah. And this mass hysteria is mostly founded around the belief that Mount Brocken, which is the highest peak of those Harz Mountains region, mm-hmm. is where the witches would gather and go to their sabbats and meet and dance with the devil. You know, like you do on the Sabbath.
Oh, yeah.
And that's where they would like plot the mischief and evil for the next year.
I mean, we all love to go to conventions.
It's just Midsummer Scream.
Sometimes the witches gotta go to them and make their evil plans for the year. Meet some witch celebrities.
Well, specifically, Penny, I know you're a Fantasia ghoul.
Yeah.
The Night on Bald Mountain scene with the big gargoyle boy, mm-hmm. that is like depicting this meetup.
Oh, This is all right.
Yeah. So people are really having a fanciful idea of what they think is happening up on the mountain. And so locals come together on April 30th and are doing whatever they can to protect themselves from the big witch convention happening on Mount Brocken. So to keep the evil spirits away, they are making loud noises. They are ringing bells. Once again, we see bonfires, which we know become a big part of Beltane celebrations. Mm-hmm. Burning straw men and old belongings to ward off evil and bring good luck. So what had originally been a similar type of celebration for spring morphs into this desperate attempt to protect themselves from witches. I also read one thing that's, I don't know why I thought this was so like silly goofy, that like the idea was to make the fire to make the fires as tall as possible so that if the witches flew over them, they would get burned. Like they would burn their little like feet and butts.
Just cruising too low, low altitude yeah. witches.
Yeah, the control tower didn't let them know.
No.
And people were hiding brooms, hiding anything that they thought that the witches could use to transport their eggs, of course.
Of course.
Eggshells, gotta crush them.
Get rid of those.
They were putting sprigs of greenery in over doorways for their home to protect, as well as I read things that said they were attaching like greenery and things to cattle. I'm picturing like a cow in a little flower crown, like, don't kill me.
He's like, ooh.
But it was supposed to protect from the witches enchanting livestock to like ride up to the mountain.
All these cows just like climbing the mountain.
Yeah, I just love. I love the ideas that circulate when people are like, here's exactly what witches do. Step right. one, they enchant the cow. Step right. two, they fly over the fire at low altitude, so we're going to burn them down.
Yep. It's like, the things I know about witches, love riding in eggshells, love seducing cows.
So, yeah. as time goes by, the superstitions around this time of year gradually start to be replaced with, you know, science and knowledge. Things about like, hey, that doesn't happen. And because of that, while Perkusnacht might have like completely died out, if mm-hmm. not for the beautiful arrival of romanticism in the 19th century.
Mm.
Here we get obviously a big renaissance of art and literature, and a lot of poetry and things bring back this idea of Walpurgisnacht, but in kind of a, like a fun, silly, goofy way. specifically, one of the main sources of literature where this shows up is the poem Faust by Goethe. I'm going to read this little excerpt because it's very funny. Mm-hmm. Now the Brocken witches ride. The stubble is gold and the corn is green. So over the valley, our company floats with witches a-fartin' on old stinking goats.
All right.
Witches with IBS.
Oh, yeah.
That's actually new merch dropping this fall. Witches with IBS. So rather than something to be feared, Walpurgisnacht becomes more of this kind of lighthearted, fun thing that's like, ooh, the witches are going up to the mountain, tee. And people celebrate it with fireworks and dancing and folk songs. And eventually it morphs into more of the festival that we see it be today. Mm-hmm. So today in Germany, as well as various other European and Scandinavian nations, this holiday is celebrated as sort of a second Halloween, which, jealous, first of all.
Right.
But people dress up in costumes, especially as witches, and go house to house, do a bit of trick-or-treating, do a bit of good old toilet paper in and cabbage pranking.
Cabbage pranking.
Yeah. And some traditions from the medieval period are still kind of incorporated into these celebrations, such as hanging the sprigs of greenery over the door frames, and leaving out. Now, remember, y'all, I studied French, not German. This is called Ankenschnitt, which is like a buttered bread liberally drizzled with honey. And you leave it out to appease the hellhounds that are running amok on Walpurgisnacht. So those things have kind of stayed around. Those were old traditions, as well as the idea of the kind of straw man or effigies. But now they are less in the way of witches, and it's more of a representation of the past. A lot of people will put, you know, words or notes pinned to them representing any of their disappointments or bad memories or misfortunes from the year past, and throw them in the bonfires to let them go. Honestly, sounds very fun. So overall, we've got some old traditions mixed with some new traditions, but in total, it just sounds like a lot of fun to me.
Yes. I'm always down for a bonfire.
Yeah, well, and I'm definitely down for a second Halloween. I was going to ask Penny, because you live in Milwaukee, which is uber German. Do you guys ever get any, like, Hexenacht type stuff going on up there? I know you have a Krampusnacht.
Yeah, definitely not as big. I do think that there was maybe a Hexenacht, like, market in the past year or two. Like, I think I remember. See, it's hard now sometimes because I see things on Instagram and I'm like, did that happen here? I mean, I know I haven't been to it, but I'm like, was that happening in Milwaukee, or was that happening somewhere that I just saw, because I follow lots of, like, spooky vendors.
Yeah, that's stuff. Fair.
But it, like, it wasn't something that I was aware of, like, in my youth or anything, but I feel like a lot of those kind of, like, alternative holidays are making a bigger push in the U.S. this yes. year. Alternative in the sense of non-U.S. holidays.
Right. And alternative in the sense of burning things instead of yes. worshiping a saint.
that too.
Many different ways to celebrate. Well, this was a shorter episode, but I wanted to take a beat and talk about what leads us into Beltane. I mean, the fact that we landed an episode right on Hexenacht, I couldn't not talk about it. I know we do have a fair amount of German listeners, actually, that, like, shows up on our map when we, it's like, where are people listening from? So if you are from a country that celebrates this and you grew up celebrating, I know that it's, like, pretty prevalent, because I remember, especially during 2020, there were articles about, like, the first time Walpurgisnacht has been canceled in 1,000 years. I remember that, like, was kind of my first introduction to it, was the fact that it was, like, a huge deal that it had been canceled for the first time in a long time. So if this is something you grew up around, and you have, you know, more intimate details about how you celebrate or how your family celebrates, I would love to know. I just love different holidays from around the world. I think it's so cool. Or if you have, like, I think, I wish I tried to find this in my Instagram DMs. I seem to remember last year, one of my followers sending me a photo of them as a little kid dressed as a witch on Hexenacht.
Aww.
And I was like, this is the cutest thing I've ever seen. So if you have baby second Halloween photos of you,
yes, let us see.
Send them to the Ghouls Night page. We want to know. Well, thank you all, as always, so much for listening. If you enjoy this podcast and you would like to let us know, you can always leave us a rating or a review wherever you listen. If you are listening on Apple, you can give us a review right there in the app, or you can always submit one via an Instagram DM if you'd like. I believe Penny has an Instagram message to share with us today.
I sure do. This review is from Ashley, who let us know that she left a 5-star review on Spotify, and now is sending us her review.
Oh, thank you.
She says, Are you an elder millennial who grew up with the Bailey School Kids, Goosebumps, Are You Afraid of the Dark, and that terrifying Disney sing-along VHS of Grim Grinning Ghosts? Do you listen to Danny Elfman and Rocky Horror Picture Show on repeat? Do you enjoy kooky facts about Elvira and, my fave, Vincent Price? If so, you'll love cackling along with Midge and Penny as they delve into fascinating, spooky, and spooky-adjacent topics every episode. Now I have the privilege of inserting random spooky facts I wouldn't have known otherwise in normal, quote, conversations, like about ass squatch and Victorian hair art. Who wouldn't want to hear about bog bodies and bog butter? 5 stars each to Penny and Midge.
Oh, I think I had repressed ass squatch.
Ass squatch.
Oh, wow.
Never forget ass squatch.
I'm officially at the point, I was thinking about this in our last episode, where our review friend said that they were starting from the beginning again. And I was like, I actually think I'm at the point where I need to go back and re-listen to Ghouls Night, because it seems near every week now I have a moment of like, did I already write this episode? And I don't remember all of our fun, spooky facts. I can't believe I forgot Asquatch.
I mean, obviously he was just buried right beneath the surface. He came back very quickly for you.
Right back. That's like, I gotta go back and pull everything back to the top of the bog.
Yes, I know. I love it. Ashley gave a lot of iconic shout outs in that one. So thank you,
Ashley. Well, if you would like to submit your own Instagram DM review, you can find us over there at Ghouls Night in Pod. Or if you're looking for me, you can find me across the web at Midge Munster.
And you can find me at Penny Snark.
And until next time.
Goodbye. Bye.